morning. We have much to be accomplished today, so let's get ourselves going here. It's good to see Mackenzie here from college, and maybe we ought to let her stand up and say what she's learned in her first few months of college. Maybe we better not. let her tell how much she's learned, and let her dad tell how much it paid him for her to learn that. Cost you to do that. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Spirit. You've gone to the trouble of getting here, so let's make it count before God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are. Of all the institutions that you've given us the church, where we come together and worship with one another, encourage one another, fellowship with one another. Father, we thank you for this assembly, for all the opportunities you give to us to serve you. And we pray now, Father, that you will be glorified this morning as we do all that we do in the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, what are we going to sing?
In our hymn books, would you join us in number 40, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. If you have one available there, please turn to it and join us in standing.
Those with our study on the triumphant procession. Okay, and this applies more so when I get into the teaching. Let's just cover this right now. I've been fighting some kind of sore throat problem, and I will probably hack. And rather than say, excuse me, just get a nice big excuse me right now, and that'll cover it. We can just go on through it, and you ignore it, and I'll bear it. Okay, now let's talk about some things that have been going on. First of all, we're happy to have Jim and Annelle Langston back from your trip. But while he was gone, his brother was promoted home to the Lord. Don Langston taken home Friday morning or Saturday morning? Last night. So right now we need to be in prayer for his family. And we know that Don is home with the Lord and very happy to be there. So just be in prayer for the family. Also, Martha Martin's dad, we've been praying for him for some time. He died this last week, or I think it was Friday. So be in prayer for Martha and the whole family, Mark and the whole family, as they endure that. Let's see now, as far as prayer, I request that you continue being in prayer for Jim Young. He's in the hospital, not very cognizant of anything that we know of for sure, but makes a few indications that he's in tune with us. Would you say that? Yeah, sometimes he does. So be in prayer for Jim Young and for his family, his children, his wife, Bobby. Let's see, is there any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Huh?
Over knee surgery.
Oh, that's right. Martha, not only has her dad died, but she had a major knee surgery Friday and has not been able to move around too much. So let's be in prayer for Martha and the recovery of her knee. She's hoping to be able to function on it Monday, so she can go down to where her mother and family are as they take care of things with her father's death. So let's be in prayer for Martha at this time. Yes?
Aunt Lacey had another cardiac event Thursday and went and did the hospital. Had another stent put in. He was still in the hospital yesterday. I talked to him. He said that they were waiting for his blood pressure to come up a little bit, and they were going to cut him loose after you know, got a little more normal on his blood pressure.
Wow.
Another stent. And
how many stents does he have? I didn't know that he had a stent.
Yeah, he had a couple, not even 2 years ago, just before Slam Camp, he had an event, or just after Slam Camp. And they had a stent put in, and he was doing some yard work Thursday, and had some pain. And
that's why I never do yard work.
Yeah.
I never do that. That'll kill you. All right. Well, thank you very much. I wasn't aware. I'll give him a call. If you're in prayer for Ed Lacey's wife, family, but his own heart and body. And I think we all know power of prayer, those kind of things are in God's hands. So we need Ed Lacey, so let's be in prayer. Yes, ma'am.
And if we could be in prayer for a lot of the college kids are headed back to their destinations today, including ours, but there's quite a few of them that came in town this weekend for the game. So
okay.
We could just...
What did they come in town for?
The Texas OU game.
Oh, okay. All right. How'd that end up? Oh, okay.
Very good game.
Huh? Okay. Yeah, it's the way Oklahomans are. They bite them down, treat them nice, and they beat you. And no courtesy whatsoever. Thank you very much for that. Okay, let's see. I've got two announcements I want to make, or I want to have made. First of all, Chris Digg, you got an announcement.
All right. Can you hear me on this thing? All right, so I'll talk like this. So we have put together a bunch of stuff for the youth ministry, and we're going to make a presentation. I need to schedule that with Pastor Maddox. But we have a big event that's coming up in a few weeks here. We are going to have a Veterans Day event for the youth ministry, and we will be having a big celebration, literally at Celebration Park in Allen, and it's on Sunday the 12th. So it's not actually going to be Veterans Day, it'll be the day after, so it'll be Sunday afternoon. We're going to have a balloon release. What we're doing is asking for donations, but for veterans, for folks that have been in the military, that are currently in the military, retired. What we're going to do is we're going to be calling all of their names out, and we'll have different colored balloons for different retirees, for veterans, for those that have passed on. And we will release all of those balloons together at one time. We'll pray together. We'll celebrate those men and women that have served. And then we're going to have a cookout and a military-represented flag football game. So everybody is invited. I think the information went out via email to everyone, and we've invited our whole Liberty Youth congregation to be a part of that. If you would like to celebrate a veteran, we have a form you can fill out. Like, so we're asking for a $5 donation that covers the cost of the balloons and the helium, and plus it's a fundraiser for the youth ministry. You can go online. So there was a link in the email that came out, and you can, as many as you want. We're hoping that we can get 500 balloons released on that day, which would be fantastic. That'd be a lot of fun, and I think we'd grab a lot of attention for those. We're doing it at Celebration Park in Allen because it's a large open area, and it's kind of centrally located, so folks can come join us.
And what time?
It is in the afternoon, and it starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So you don't have to cut church off early or anything.
Good, amen.
We could be done at 2 and still make it over. So,
not if we have 500 balloons.
We'll figure that problem out if we get there. So, but yes, that would be an awesome problem.
We're bouncing out.
Yes. In all seriousness, we will be praying together as a congregation of the youth ministry. All those that are involved that come out, we'll be praying together. We'll pray for our veterans. We'll pray for our military. Pray for our nation. And, oh, by the way, we'll have the opportunity to give the gospel to anybody who joins, because we will be doing that. And we do that every time we can have the opportunity. What's that?
I might slip it in.
Might slip that one in there, and, you know, for those that are unknowingly coming to be a part. So, no, just kidding. Yes, ma'am.
Well, just for those who are on the Internet who can't come but want to donate, mm-hmm. you can go to our website on the church tab. There is a link to the form out there as well.
Okay, awesome. If you didn't hear it on the Internet,
yes.
So we do have on our church website, we have a link that will take you to the form to fill out, put the veterans' names in, what service they were in, etc., and make a donation there. So everybody is welcome to be involved with this, even if you're not local. We'd love to have you participate. So.
We're about to now, Allen.
It is a Celebration Park in Allen, which is over off of Angel Parkway. We'll put it in your phone. We'll figure out something.
Thank you.
So, anyway, thank you.
Very good. Any more questions on that? Okay, that's going to be super. All right. That's the 12th. So each Sunday between then and now, I'm giving at least a minute, 2 minute, 3 minute talk. Until we get up to it. Remind us. Get us juiced up. Good.
It'll be fun.
Good.
Share it with your friends.
Yeah.
It's open. I mean, it's open on Facebook. We put it on the YouTube Facebook so that it's there for the public if they want to get involved.
Absolutely. Beautiful. All right. The next announcement is rather interesting. I was very much taken with it because when I get here on Wednesday night, I got to tell you, sometimes we could just meet in my car. And that's pretty bad, but this is the kind of thing that makes it worthwhile. Julie?
People don't realize the impact of the Internet ministry, so once in a while, we would like to actually inform you the progress. So last year, we had about 950 that unique visitors that granted that if you actually have more than one computer, it counts twice, so that's still more than 300 or 400. Then that's more than 1% of what we have the whole year last year. This year from January to just now, the 15th, now we actually have to split the website into completed lessons and the ongoing lessons. For the completed lessons, we have visitors from 13 countries, mainly Europe and China. And the unique visitors there are about 1,162 unique visitors. So now for the ongoing lessons, just so you know, people actually really hear. Thank you, everybody on the internet. The top lesson is Corinthians, which is ongoing, and then Colossians, and then the John. We have 8,102 unique visitors from 51 countries. So you guys are less than 1%, but don't give up. Also,
we've always
I'd like to ask you too. This mic is very powerful. It can take up the whole room because it's a choir mic. So if the Lord actually put the question in your mind to ask, say it out loud so that people on the internet can hear too. The issue that we usually have is that we hear the answer, we don't know what the question is, and we have to amplify it afterwards. So we would really appreciate you. If you're afraid of being a superstar, don't worry, do not record. That who actually asked the question. You will not get on YouTube. I promise. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Wow. 31 countries. That's all right. Okay, one other thing. How did Gene, did he enjoy last week?
Yes, he was planning on coming back today, but had forgotten he had already committed to another church that wanted to hear his testimony today. So,
good. I'm glad of that.
Definitely wants to come back.
Okay, are you working on things we can be doing for prison ministry?
To a point, we can kind of let you know what's going on.
We're
working on getting in.
Okay.
So once we do that,
let us know. Do that. Very good. Mackenzie, you missed a good one last week. Had a guy from prison. He was really good. Okay. Any other prayer requests, announcements? Yes, Gigi. By the way, we're glad you're doing well.
My friend Carol's son. He's 44. He's got MS, and he's been shying away from religion. God's not taking care of his needs, quote unquote, so he's just getting away from that.
That's a lot of believers. Okay. We'll be in prayer. Okay. Any other? Yes.
Yes. Colon surgery is going to be the 27th of this month.
Of October?
Yes.
Okay.
So just be in prayer about that. And the doctor still says 100% that he should not walk out of it with a colostomy bag, so that's good.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you added it. You should not walk out. And then you had a roof. Okay.
Yeah.
Glad you added something to that. Very good. All right, any other third class or things you would like to be said? The Word of God declares whatsoever a man put to send his soul to give, so that he can give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God is the gracious giver. Gracious giver is defined, first of all, as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but also one who knows how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. It is the Holy Spirit that guides us what to do with our time and our money. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we just stand amazed and so thankful. So humble an assembly, so many opportunities. And we just pray you'll continue to give them. And we'll just keep the cup out, and you keep pouring in, Father. Every opportunity you give us to spread the gospel, to let people understand the truth of the Word of God, we're ready. And now, Father, therefore, we pray you'll receive the offerings we're about to give. You'll continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. In His precious name we pray. Amen.
it's said that a well-written song is a complete sermon. So hopefully you get a few nuggets out of three sermons today. And the other saying I'll leave you with is, singers are to sing, and preachers are to preach. So I'm not talking anymore. My heart's breaking up inside. How could anyone feel so alone? Tears flow, falling from my sorrow. No one here but me knows I'm alive. And the thunder roars in me, and the rain falls endlessly. Who can save me from my life? There's a hand on my shoulder. Through the storm, however it blows, there's a hand on my shoulder, stays with me wherever I go. Clouds fade, even on a bad day. Even when the bough breaks in the wind, and love stays, even when a man cries. Even though a friend dies in the end, and the lamp tears through the night with the spark of heaven's light, never leaves me on my own. There's a hand on my shoulder. Through the storm, however it blows, there's a hand on my shoulder, stays with me wherever I go. When darkness hides the light of day, my God is there to show the way. The arms that hold me through the night and lead me on into the light. There's a hand on my shoulder through the storm. However it blows, there's a hand on my shoulder, stays with me wherever I go. There's a hand on my shoulder. However it blows, there's a hand on my shoulder, stays with me wherever. Amen? Amen?
What are you going to sing next week?
That was, huh?
What are you going to sing next week?
I got two more. Sit
down.
That's the reason I'm not talking. There are days when I feel best of me is ready to begin. And there's days when I feel like letting go, soaring on the wind. I've learned in laughter or in pain how to survive. I get on my knees, I get on my knees. There I am before the love that changes me. See, I don't know how the first hour when I'm on my knees. Be in a crowd or by myself, almost anywhere with me. There's a need to talk with God. He is Emmanuel. I close my eyes, though darkness there's only get on my knees. There I am before the love that changes me. See, I don't know how, but there's power in the blue sky, in the midnight, when I'm on.
Of night, fill me with your pure delight, touch me with your hand, God of grace, flow into this lowly place, listen to your children pray. take me as I am, healer of my heart, lover of my soul, maker of the stars, the earth, the sky, come and make me whole, savior of this world. My voice praises you, and you alone, healer of my heart, lover of my soul. Emmanuel, lead me to your deepest well, where never-ending love prevails, drinking from your cup. Prince of Peace, forever live inside of me. Keeper of eternity, O Lord, revive us with your touch. Healer of my heart, lover of my soul, maker of the stars, the earth, the sky, come and make me whole. Savior of this world, my voice praises you, you alone, healer of my heart, lover of my soul. Maker of the stars, the earth, the sky, come and make me whole. Savior of this world, my voice praises you, and you alone, healer of my heart, lover of my soul.
Very happy to have his friend Karen Perry with us. Karen, nice to have you here at church visiting. Okay, does anyone not have the triumphal procession? You've had a week to have it, so you should have it. Okay? The triumphal procession, Colossians 2:15. Now I'm just going to kind of hopefully just talk, not get into a preaching mode. Save what little there is in my throat left. And let's begin with a word of prayer. And again, the purpose of the prayer is very important. To test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, for He is the teacher, not me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. We're especially grateful for the book of Colossians, which is a book on the glory of Christ. It teaches us so many things about Jesus Christ. Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, Colossians 2:15. Now, having taken care of the great challenge and the trial, two weeks ago we dealt with the trial, and that was, how can a perfectly righteous God not send all unrighteous creatures to the eternal lake of fire? That's the great question. His love is not the issue. The issue is His righteousness, His perfect essence. How can He not cast us into the lake of fire? And we start with the 10 questions of Job. How they dealt with that question. How can he who is born of woman be righteous before God? Who can make the unclean righteous? To which Satan answered in the text, no one. Now he took care of this challenge by sending his son to the cross and establishing forgiveness of sins on the cross. Then by removing the handwritten debt against all members of the human race by nailing it to the cross. That's the Mosaic Law. Leaving the only issue of the imputation of perfect righteousness to anyone, everyone, who believes in Christ. In other words, people, there are two issues in the gospel, a negative and a positive. The negative is removal of sins. That's taking care of every human being on earth. When Christ died on the cross, he died for all sins of all people. The positive side of the gospel is the necessity of perfect righteousness. He takes care of that by imputing his perfect righteousness to anyone and everyone who believes. Now God turns to the angelic conflict in our study. Colossians 2:15, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. This is a powerful declaration of the glory of Christ. This verse starts off with an aorist participle of the verb meaning to disarm, having disarmed, aorist participle, to neutralize the enemy, taking off their shining armor, leaving them helpless for display. Before we look at who exactly God has disarmed, I want you to see where the same verb is used of you and every believer in Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:9, coming up in our study. Do not, it should be verse 9 there, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. The translation, lay aside, is our word, to disarm. Since you have disarmed the old practices, you have taken their energy out of them. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we were buried with Him, and we disarmed our inherited sin nature. We are born with an inherited sin nature. When you believe in Christ, you disarm it. You leave it weak, no power. Now, who is it that God has disarmed? The angelic forces under Satan, including Satan, but the angelic forces. Rulers. We have had this word describing Jesus Christ in Colossians 1:18, translated the beginning, because he is the efficient cause of creation. This word has a wide variety of meanings, depending on its use in the text. But here it refers to those of preeminence in our text, Colossians 2:15. Those of preeminence are rulership among the higher creatures, angels. Those angels who follow Satan in the angelic conflict in the first world. Let me just introduce our study. You've got to appreciate the importance of angels in the angelic conflict, in your life, in God's plan. Right from the beginning, the prehistoric world. In the prehistoric world, God created these super creatures, put them on earth. They rebelled through their leader, Satan. One-third of them followed Satan. He cast one-third of them into the deep. That brings us to the second universe, Genesis 1. Here is the deep. And in the deep are all of the fallen angels. There is yet a third world, and that is the future one in the millennial and the eternal kingdom and the eternal lake of fire. So this is where we're dealing with in our study. Now, where did Paul get this word to describe the hierarchy among angels? In the study of angelology, whether speaking of fallen angels, those angels that followed Satan, or elect angels, those angels who did not follow Satan, but chose to follow God, there is order of rank among angels. You have to understand this. Sometimes this rank is seen by the number of sets of wings. Three sets, two sets, one set, or just one set of wings. Now, to give these various ranks of angels names, Paul drew from an ancient Athens. Ancient Athens, Greece. So, what he did was chose the word archon, A-R-C-H-O-N. Now, you can look that up on Google. Just do Google in archon and see what you get. Archon is an old noun. You can look it up on Google, as I said. The word refers to the highest ruler in Athens in 5th century B.C. There was actually, in the structure of the Athenian Empire, what was known as college or archons. Besides the educational use of the word college, it is used to define an organized group of professional people with particular aims, duties, privileges. Therefore, you have the College of Archons. The Athenian Archon was broken down into four levels. The highest level, called Ho Archon, that is the, that Ho is the definite article, the Archon, which means preeminence, or, as we would say here, rulers. Archon is used in Scripture for the most powerful demons under Satan. Then the second level, authorities in our text. Authorities. This word refers to the next level of authority in Satan's dominion. By the way, elect angels also have their hierarchy. All right, so authorities. This word refers to the next level of authority in Satan's domain. In military terms, you can think of these as commissioned officers. World rulers of darkness. Not listed in Colossians 2, but they are a third level listed in Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not against one another, but against the rulers, archon, against the powers, authorities, and now against the world forces of this darkness. Now, this is not exactly correct as far as the original manuscript. It should be rulers of darkness. Rulers of darkness. And people, this one is important to you today. We studied this in Daniel chapter 10, where you'll recall is in the midst of the history of Israel under Gentile rule, and this is all through the church age. This is vividly seen, Daniel 9:26. Even to the end, there will be war, desolations are determined. This is remarkable. This again proves that our God is the only God who can tell what is going to happen in history. This should give every one of us the proof that the Bible is accurate, truthful, trustworthy, not only regards to history, but to all creation, and of course, salvation. Daniel 10 and 11 gives a description of the war and desolation suffered by Israel under Gentile rule. Even today, while Israel is a recognized nation, they are still under the dictates of the United Nations and the United States and are at war with every nation around them. This is the current status. Yes, there is a nation of Israel, but they are really under the pressure of anti-Semitism from all over the world. There has to be this nation because when the rapture occurs, the king of the West was going to make a treaty with the nation of Israel. So it has to be in place. Things, as you look at the conditions of the world today, there is so much in place for the rapture to occur at any time. Let me add a footnote. Don't ever pray for the rapture to get you out of trouble, to get you out of a jam. That's what the Word of God is for. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. That's what casting your cares on Him is for. Rapture is not a problem-solving device for us. It is the continuation of the history for God. And we learn from Daniel 10, chapter 10, verse 13, that throughout all history, Satan has appointed top-ranked demons to interfere with Christianity in every nation on earth. That's right. Every nation has a high-ranking demon and his organization working in that nation to keep the Word of God out of that nation, to keep the gospel out of that nation. That's why when Julie said 31 nations, I just in my soul went, wow, that is fantastic. I'm thankful for that. Pray that He'll just continue to be able to use our ministry to spread this message. Now, as things continue to get worse in this country, in America, from shootings in Las Vegas to court decisions against prayer, against the Bible, you will also see a decline in the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit, as there are fewer Christians in comparison with the total population, and fewer Christians taking the Word of God seriously, studying the Word of God, and few Christians that know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit and live by the Holy Spirit. So what you're doing, if you have the whole populace of America, and you've got fewer and fewer, to where you have a very small group who know how to walk in the power of the Spirit, you have removed or weakened the restraining ministry of the Spirit. The more Christians you have, the more Christians that know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the greater is the influence of the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit. We spent time last week looking at that. This is the importance of the first combat between Jesus and Satan. Because of the fall of man in the garden, God gave Satan rule. God first gave man the rule. Man lost it, and He gave it to Satan. Because of the fall of man in the garden, God gave Satan rule of the world in Matthew 4. In Matthew 4, Satan offered back to Jesus the rule of the world if Jesus would bow down and worship Him. By refusing this offer, Jesus was recognizing that Satan indeed had the authority to give to Him. If He had said, look, you don't even have the authority to do that, you're not offering me anything. But He said, no, I don't want your offer. So He recognized Satan has the authority to rule the world. Satan has ruled the world from the fall of Adam to the return of Christ and setting up the millennial kingdom. Through the tribulation, through the church age, through the age of Israel, Satan is in rule. Got to understand that. Why are all these bad things happening? Why are all these horrible things happening around the world? What kind of God is that? That's the kind of God Satan is. It's the kind of ruler he is. So let's be sure we understand that. Now, in Daniel 10, the angel informs Daniel and us of something of which most Christians are not aware and certainly cannot see with our eyes, that there is a chief ruling demon in charge of demons assigned to the kingdom of Persia and to every nation on earth, as far as that goes. And these demons actually engage in combat with elect angels commissioned by God to enter into the human realm as servants of God. This is unbelievable. I don't know if God's making a DVD of this, but it would really be super to watch angels battling with each other to get us the word and to protect us. Okay. This is an invisible warfare, and it is all over you, your marriage, to keep you from being saved, and since you have slipped by and have believed in Jesus Christ, to keep you from growing in the Word of God, from increasing in the knowledge of Christ, and in the knowledge of God the Father. That's what he seeks to do, keep you away from Bible class. This is why Ephesians 6, our struggle, nearly every one of us, maybe James Webb doesn't know about struggle, but most of us know about struggle. We all have our struggles. And we tend to think, well, it's my husband's fault. It's my wife's fault. It's those lousy children we have. It's our lousy parents. It's this, it's that. No. Look what the Word of God says. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. not against husband and wife. It will seem that way. Why? Because Satan would love nothing better than to break up a Christian marriage, people. He would consider that a feather in his cap. He likes nothing better than to keep a believer from growing in the Word of God, destroying churches that do teach the Word of God. That's his feather in his cap. That's what he wants to do. But our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Look what it says. Top of the page now, top page 6. But against rulers, authorities, against rulers of darkness. Demons assigned to every nation. Now, what is really interesting, we learn from Daniel, is that these demons actually engage in combat with elect angels, commissioned by God. We certainly cannot see this combat, but rest assured, it is going on. It is unknown in human history of the effect of the angelic conflict on nations. In fact, I could have put on individuals. People, there's a battle over you. Not to come to Bible class. Not to grow in the Word of God. Not to share the gospel with someone. I'm going to do everything he can to distract us from doing those things. So we cannot see it, but it certainly is there. We can only imagine the invisible warfare while our early fathers were going forging a new nation against Thomas Jefferson as he was writing the Constitution, Declaration of Independence. This explains some of the most unbelievable events that have arisen in history. Success of Alexander the Great. How a corporal named Adolf Hitler became one of the most powerful men in all history. How one man entered history out of nowhere and won total leadership over a nation. I'm talking about currently. All right. Now, but if you did a study on the influence of the church, of the teaching of the Word of God at this time in Germany's history, think about it. About what we'll get it a close 40 years of German's history, and all of a sudden this unknown little corporal becomes the strongest man in the world. It would be no surprise. If we were to study, and we do, study its spiritual fiber, the retaining ministry of the Holy Spirit was almost completely removed. The church made deals with Hitler. Very few people were believing in Jesus as the Messiah. It was a time when the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit was gone, and that is the result, what we saw in Germany's history. As powerful as angels are, God has given to every believer of the church age everything necessary for our part in the battle. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against angels. And you have everything necessary to engage in this battle. One, he has given to every believer in Jesus Christ the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. People, you cannot ever overestimate the importance of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We saw in our 9:15 class, this is what Paul emphasizes in 2 Corinthians 3. We're adequate. What makes you adequate to serve God? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Not just that you're saved, but the indwelling of the Holy Spirit makes you adequate to serve. Secondly, he has given us the completed canon of Scripture to learn. Now, what is remarkable, the beginning of the millennium, Jews won't have to learn anything. They won't have any teachers. God is going to supernaturally, like he did with the church age and Pentecost, gave the indwelling of the Spirit. He's going to give them the indwelling of the Spirit and put into their soul this book. That is going to be remarkable. That would just be a wonderful time to be a rabbi. Don't have to really study. Don't have to teach either. But it's just a remarkable time. Thirdly, he gives us an armor. The armor of God to put on. Ephesians 6:10-17. Now note carefully how twice we are instructed to stand firm. We are not to take them on in the battle. I'm a Marine. I'm going to take them on. Come on, demon. Let me have at you. No. I'm weak. I'm heavy laden. All I can do is stand still. God, fight my battle. and the battle is the Lord's. We are not to take them on in battle. Trust God the Holy Spirit, God the Father of Jesus Christ, to fight our battles for us. One more vital point about the angelic conflict. Now, I want you to understand we could spend 6 months studying the doctrine of the angelic conflict. You know that. We're just mentioning it here. All right? If you want a really good study, go over to the Dave's house on Thursday night because he and the boys are studying the angelic conflict. I don't know, would you let the ladies in if they were to come? All right.
Yes, everybody's
welcome. If God did not want the angelic conflict to continue, it would be over, people. But God allows demons to operate, just as God allows your volition to choose against Him. So we are learning so much about the invisible conflict, and we're learning about God Himself. We learn so much about God as we study the invisible warfare. The very fact He allows it to occur is amazing. But He's given to us everything that we need to battle against it. God has planned, and He temporarily sets aside His sovereignty over all the decisions of His creature. The angelic conflict, human sins, evil, all the things that we witness going on in the world today, God allows it to happen for a reason. God has a plan for history of the angelic conflict and humans. It is He who allows the forces of darkness to work. Luke 22:53, and we learn much about ourselves. Are you going to trust Him? As per that passage. I'm sorry we didn't put it in. Are we going to continue to grow in the learning of His Word? That's up to you, people. We meet one night a week at this assembly. One night. Not two, not three, not four, like I used to do. But one out of seven. One morning a week. Not two or three, one morning a week. It's up to you. Are you going to continue to grow in the learning of the Word? Though you do not understand or nor know, are you going to trust Him? The angelic conflict is about God, angels, mankind, ourselves. Now, how are prayers transmitted? You ever thought about that? We're going to pray for Jim Langston's family, his brother's family. We're going to pray for Martha's father's family. How is prayer transmitted? Not by radio signals, nor by light beams. That would take forever. Our prayers are heard in the third heaven the moment we think them, the second we think them. This is how close God is to us, people. Stand still and watch the deliverance of the Lord. The angelic forces under Satan, rulers, authorities, rulers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness. Those are the four categories of the ranks under Satan. This fourth category mentioned in Ephesians 6:12. Actually, this should be translated spirits of evil. And this is where you and I come under direct attack. There are demons that are directly attack believers and non-believers. For an example, they might go inside of unbelievers to perform any number of assignments. We know that from the wonderful Mary Magdalene, who was possessed of seven demons when the Lord cast them out in Luke 8:2. We do not know with certainty, but most likely Satan knew she would respond to the loving message of Jesus Christ. And he set out to prevent her from even entering or hearing His message. Then there are those demons who control the vocal cords of unbelievers. These demons work in lawlessness that we studied in 2 Corinthians 2. And there are indeed these demons attack believers. They attack unbelievers, but they also attack believers. While believers cannot be demon-possessed, demons can have a high effect on, believers can have highly affected by demons, influenced by demons, led away from the Word of God by demons. throughout all human history, from Adam onward. Satan has had his legions of demons, have battled in warfare. But the day is coming when God will make a public display of them, of Satan, and all these demons who chose Satan over God. Having disarmed, back to our Colossians study, having disarmed the angelic command of Satan, he made a public display of them. Okay, this is the main verb. Main verb. Now remember, an aorist participle precedes the action of the main verb. See? So now we come, having disarmed them, that happened first. Now we come to the main verb. They were captured and disarmed. That's the aorist participle, keeping with military motif of the message. This was a military practice, a military reward. They would march the captives for a public display for all to see those who have been conquered. And this is an excellent translation. He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him, that is, through Jesus Christ. While God the Father was canceling our debt on the cross, while God was forgiving all sins of the human race, the whole satanic system of fallen angels, superior to man, were being disarmed and neutralized at the cross. We'll never grasp the totalness of what happened at the cross. The cross brought forgiveness of sins. The cross canceled the debt we owe, the Mosaic Law. The cross removed the decrees against us. And the cross disarmed and neutralized the forces of Satan. He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. All right, this is another aorist participle. And now you're familiar with the fact that the action of the aorist participle precedes the action of the main verb. All right, the main verb made a public display. So, we know from this verse and all the Bible what else happened on the cross. Jesus Christ was triumph over Satan and all his forces. So we can look at it from the man point. He bore our sins, provided redemption, provides for the imputation of righteousness, all those things. It's a whole other realm going on in the angelic realm, the invisible realm. Jesus Christ was triumph over Satan and all his forces. Then, now think about this, after the resurrection, Jesus Christ went to Tartarus and made a victorious proclamation. Why Tartarus? What's Tartarus? This was the compartment of the underworld where all the demons who cohabitated with women in Genesis 6 were sentenced to stay until the great white throne judgment. They don't know what's going on. They're in total darkness. These demons had no way of knowing what was going on in the conflict on earth. So Jesus Christ, in his resurrected body, went there in his resurrected body and told them of his victory on the cross and the triumphant procession. So the question arises, when was this triumphal procession? When was it? Spoken of in Colossians 2:15. There's a great, splendid event that has already taken place. And not many Christians know about it, think about it. That is the ascension and session of Jesus Christ. His ascension, leaving earth, ascending into heaven, from earth 40 days after his resurrection to the throne of God, where he sat down at the right hand of God. When Jesus Christ arrived in heaven at the throne of God, he arrived as a conquering hero. It was quiet on earth. It'd be very interesting if we could find out all that happened on earth right after the ascension. Why? Because Satan and his demons were not here. They were in the triumphal procession as captives. And all the elect angels were there singing praises to Jesus Christ. It was a heavenly coordination, with trumpets sounding, angels singing, and Satan and his angels in darkness and shame. It is no wonder why during the church age, Satan lusts to get rid of Jews and any Gentiles who would dare to believe in Jesus as their Savior King. For he conquered all the forces of Satan at the cross. This is why Satan is so furious, so jealous that Jesus Christ, born of a woman. See, Jesus, Satan wasn't born of a woman. He was there. Boom. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. The Old Testament says he's a seal of the creation of God. That's how, and just boom, there he was. He didn't grow up. He didn't go through adolescence, teenage. He didn't have any rebellion teenaging years. He saved that through his adult life. And that's his status. Okay, so it is no wonder at this time. The triumphal procession, and when it occurs, for he conquered all the forces of Satan at the cross. Satan is furious, jealous, that Jesus Christ, born of woman, sits at the right hand of God, where he, Satan, lusts to sit. But Satan in is not yet. There's the church age. The last 7 years God promised to Israel, called the tribulation. Then, Jesus Christ returns to the planet Earth to set up his kingdom on Earth of a brief 1,000 years. That's not very long. If you love history like I do, you get every morning I have a ritual. I got to go and look up Today in History. And I love it. See what they've got to say. Once in a while, they'll go back to B.C. But most of the time, it's all A.D. stuff. And just what happened, right out where it happened, and then it gets who was born and different time frames of history. It's a wonderful thing. And you know what? 1,000 years isn't very long. Think about what happened from the time of Christ to the Crusades. Then you think about all the time from the Crusades to now. It goes quickly. 1,000 years, we think, 1,000 years. It's not that long. Not that long at all. Now, Satan and his fallen angels and every member of the human race who chose not to believe in Jesus Christ will be cast into the eternal lake of fire, while the King, Jesus Christ, and all those who believed in him throughout all history will rejoice with him for all eternity. Then, Satan and his fallen angels, every member of the human race who chose not to believe in Jesus Christ, will be cast into the eternal lake of fire, while the King, Jesus Christ, and all those who did believe in him throughout all history will rejoice with him for all eternity. People, I hope you never pass up an opportunity to share the gospel. I don't care if you give it to 100 and only one responds. That is phenomenal. A couple of weeks ago, our granddaughter celebrated her 20th birthday. She had a good friend, came in from another college, a really nice, good college academically. So I was sitting down talking with her. And she told me the most amazing thing is that where she went was to a Baptist college. She goes to a Baptist college here in Texas. And I said, what was the most interesting thing that surprised you in college? And she looked at me and she said, the number of kids that do not know if they're saved. These are Baptists. She said, they would be talking. And she said, were you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. I'm not sure. What a tragedy, people. The kids don't even know for sure. Make sure your kids know, your grandkids know, but also anybody you talk with. Give them this assurance of eternal life with Jesus Christ. Here's your future. Give thanks to God for his wondrous plan. He made a triumphant procession. Now the following description is taken, copyrighted, 2017, the Watchtower and Tract Society of Pennsylvania. But I thought they did a really good job explaining it. So let's just go through it quickly. If you've seen, and then for the Roman pictures of Rome, I think one of the best ones that did this was Cleopatra, but they have the victorious armies walking through Rome, and they have the captives, and they have all the slaves, they have all their booty, all the wonderful things. Well, here's a description. A formal procession in celebration of victory over an enemy. The Greek word triumbuo, meaning lead in a triumphal procession, occurs only twice in the scriptures. Each time in a somewhat different illustration. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14, Colossians 2, 15, our study. Triumphal processions among the nations, Egypt, Assyria, and other nations, commemorated their military victories with triumphant processions. In the days of the Roman Republic, one of the highest honors the Senate could bestow on a conquering general was to allow him to celebrate his victory with a formal and costly procession of triumph in which no detail of pomp and glory was overlooked. The Roman procession moved slowly along Via Trifelius and up the winding ascent to the Temple of Jupiter atop the Capitol Hill. Musicians playing, singing songs of victory were at the front, followed by young men leading the sacrificial cattle. Then came open carts loaded with booty, tremendous floats illustrating battle scenes or the destruction of cities and temples, and perhaps topped with the figure of the vanquished commander, the captive kings, princes, generals taken in the war, with their children and their attendants, led along in chains, often stripped naked to their humiliation and shame. Next came the general's chariot, decorated in ivory and gold, wreathed with laurel and drawn by four white horses, or on occasion by elephants, lions, tigers, or deer. The conqueror's children sat on his feet or rode in a separate chariot behind him. If he had more than one kid, you can't get them all in one thing, so you can get another. Get your own car. All right. Roman consuls and magistrates followed on foot. Then the lieutenants, military tribunes, with the victorious army all bedecked with garlands, laurel, and gifts, singing songs of praise to their leader. In the vanguard were the priests and their attendants, bringing along the chief victim for sacrifice, a white ox. As the procession passed through the city, the populace threw flowers before the victor's chariot, and burning incense on the temple altars perfumed the way. This sweet odor signified honors, promotion, wealth, and more secure life for the victorious soldiers. But it signified death to the unpardoned captives who would be executed at the end of the procession. This fact throws light on Paul's spiritual application of the illustration in 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 16. We see this passage that we will be led in a triumphant procession. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. People, I don't care how bad your sin, where your life is or isn't. You're in Christ. You are triumph. You have to know that. And in Christ, you can always call on Him. He's that close. You're in Him. Verse 14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved, among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma of death to death, to the other, an aroma of life to life. And who is adequate for these things? Closing with Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. So this one has already occurred. When Christ ascended, this one occurred. All right, verse 16, coming up next week. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge. You've already been victorious. In regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day, things which are mere shadow of that what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. Close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I hate to be so base, but I sure hope you made a DV of this triumphal possession of Christ at his ascension, that we can see it. But if not, we know that it happened. We see it in our mind's eye. And then we will be part of another one coming up. Father, thank you so much for this passage. I pray your Spirit will let it dwell in our souls when we get depressed, sad about our life, and realize how victorious we are in Christ. And that's all that really matters. And mean that. Father, I pray your Spirit can use these things to bring glory to Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.